My name is Tony Litt. I'm the MD of Sunrise Radio, and it's my immense pleasure to bring you the official Sunrise Radio podcast. We are the number one commercial Asian station in the United Kingdom, with many firsts to our name, and we continue to be the voice of British Asians who have given us their love and loyalty over 30 years. It's a legacy we cherish and a responsibility that we don't take lightly. Our aim has always been to entertain the listeners with the best of Bollywood and Bhangra, while also addressing their concerns. A real voice for the community, a vibrant community, and a great nation. We are proud to be British and Asian. This podcast is a compilation of some of the things we do on the station, with a stellar lineup of presenters who each have their own personality and style. It's entertaining, informative, engaging, and we hope you will enjoy it here as a podcast if you are unable to tune in to the radio. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your family and friends about this podcast. And do leave us a comment on what you think. We'd love to hear from you. All the best always. Team Sunrise. The UK's
biggest station mix. Sunrise Radio. This is Anushka Arora. As always, lovely to have your company for the Sunrise Radio podcast. And this week, I have another special guest on the show. Today, joining me in the studio, actually one of my favourite topics to talk about, and I think it probably has been for everybody else over the last 4 years, let's say. And also, I just want to say, like, disclaimer, please do not influence me to buy any more skincare products today. Dr. Adele, welcome to Sunrise Radio. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming here today.
No worries. I can't promise that I won't influence you to buy any more skincare.
Oh my God.
Can't make that guarantee.
It's like another day, another skincare product. But here you are, spilling all the tea on skin, hair, nails, and of course your content creator journey as well. So I was actually going through your TikTok just earlier today, and I scrolled right through the bottom, and your first TikTok that you posted was 28th November 2020. So here we are, fast forward to April 2024. Tell me how you started off that journey of content creation.
That's actually crazy because I didn't know my first TikTok was on that day. So thank you for letting me know. Oh, wow. It feels like such a long time ago. So not quite 4 years yet, 3.5 years. Mm. And it's funny because I think when I first started, I was just like really, really inconsistent with it for a good, I'd say like 8 months. Right. And I think like May 2021 was probably when I decided to start getting more consistent with it. But in terms, it was honestly kind of a fluke in terms of like how I ended up starting. And it was mainly just out of boredom, to be completely honest. Yeah, like the whole COVID was happening. Yeah. Everyone just had like a lot more free time on their hands. And me, like everyone else, was spending a lot of time on social media. Yeah. I was like scrolling when I was in bed, as you do. Yeah. And I think for me, I just thought, you know what? I saw a lot of people creating skincare content. And I was like, some of this is just complete rubbish. Like, I was like,
yeah. Let me sort it all out.
But that is kind of where it, so it was a combination of, I guess, like boredom, but also just seeing how much like misinformation there was online. So it kind of just started as a hobby and then continued. And now here we are like 3.5 years later, which is kind of insane.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gone by so fast.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about misinformation, you know, social media, it can go either way, right? Like it's just, there's so much information out there. And you being a dermatologist, I mean, you know, when you see these videos that are spreading so much misinformation, like how does that make you feel?
Oh, honestly, it's like, I think I used to be quite triggered by it. I think at the beginning, like when I first started socials and I would just see it and then you'd see like other, like people who were obviously like viewing that and what they were commenting, and they were like, oh yeah, like I've tried that too and that works. And it's just like, oh, this is like literally like the so opposite of like what's true. So I think I found that quite triggering that there was like this space which people could, you know, have an audience and get out to loads and loads of people, but like such a quick way to spread so much misinformation so quickly. So I just found that really triggering, and I kind of felt like it kind of just like, I mean, everything that I was trying to do went against that. Because I was also seeing some of that seeping into like my clinical work. Yeah. Like I was seeing people in clinic where they'd be like, oh yeah, but I saw that you should be doing this, and I saw that that's not true. And I'd kind of be like, it's really hard because I think once somebody has said it online, it's almost kind of like Bible in some way. ways people don't second guess or question, is there a chance that this could might not be true?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of like skincare, because skin is like, it's such an obvious thing. Loads of people have different issues or concerns, whatever that is, acne or pigmentation. And often people, I feel, are quite desperate for things to get better.
Yeah.
And they're also looking for affordable options. So, you know, if someone tells you, like, put lemon on your face or put potatoes on your face to get rid of pigmentation, they're like, yeah, I've got a potato in the kitchen. I've got a potato in the kitchen. I'll give that a go. But yeah, so, but I think now, I think that people are a bit more informed. And I think that, you know, not just me, but like, I have lots of derm colleagues online who are doing the Lord's work, but also just not even dermatologists. I think we've got some, you know, skincare influencers who are, you know, coming in with the facts, and hopefully I feel like things are generally moving in the right direction. Although obviously you still for sure see lots of stuff come up where you're just like, another day, another quick hack, which is just like complete rubbish. But
how would you say, like, how easy is it or difficult is it for you to keep up with social media? Because you're not just creating content, you're, you know, you're, I'm assuming, a clinical...
Full-time.
Full-time, exactly. And then, you know, you've got family, you've got so much going on. I mean, how do you keep up with it?
Yeah, I think it is insane, because the thing with social media is that it never sleeps. You know, it's 24 hours of the day. There's, you know, everyone's got it in different countries. There's different things which are trending. And I think social media in itself is a full-time job, but for me it's obviously my second job aside from my full-time clinical practice. So do you actually end up spending quite a lot of time scrolling through socials just so I can see sort of what's going on and also get inspiration for content, but just see like what people are talking about and what I kind of want to put my two cents in about, I guess. Yeah, so it's quite time consuming, I would say.
And what would you say has been so far like the most fun part of your career? Like, if you had to choose and if you had to pick one moment, what would that be?
Oh my God, I would say definitely all the... In terms of like the social media side of things, I'd say definitely all the experiences that have come from having a social media platform. I mean, if you had told me, you know, like 10 years ago, oh, you'd be in New York doing like a campaign to like raise awareness for, you know, skin, I'd be like, no way, me? On a set? Filming like, you know, content or like a TV commercial. I think that for me has probably been the craziest, but also the most enjoyable aspects of it, because it's so, so different from like my normal day job. My normal day job, I'm just like, you know, I'm just in clinic, I'm just seeing patients, after patients doing like surgical procedures and stuff, and I'm very much like doctor and medic, but there's this whole world outside of just clinical practice, and I think for me that's the bit that has been the most fun and the most enjoyable, and also like meeting people who are not medics. Like I'm just so, I think medics do this a lot where all their friends are also doctors. And they just don't socialize with people outside of that, and I'm guilty because I was one of these people, but I think I've just met people from so many walks of life, and I think that's been really cool.
Yeah, how cool is that? Would you do content creation like as a full-time job? Like, have you ever considered that?
I wouldn't.
No.
And do you know why? It's because I've spent so many years like doing clinical practice and going through med school and getting into dermatology training and finishing that, that it's just such a big part of my life, and I also just really enjoy it. I couldn't see myself never being a practicing doctor or a practicing dermatologist, because like that is like the core of my me and my job. And social media is just a secondary
I see what you mean,
part of that. I guess.
Do you think social media is like forever? Is it here to stay? Like, because there's so many changes. I mean, you know, there's recently it was in the news that TikTok might even get banned here.
Oh, in the UK?
Yeah, in the UK. Like, I mean, how do you feel about that when, you know, you have so much stuff that you put out on TikTok and not just Instagram, for example?
I mean, I think, I mean, personally, I feel like social media is here to stay. I think that it is just completely revolutionized the way in which we kind of do things and how we get entertainment, but also how we educate, I think, like from the point of view of being like a doctor. Like in clinic, people don't necessarily want to be given like a leaflet outlining everything. And like, I think video content has been so useful for so many reasons. I think it'd be really sad if social media went away, because I think there is a lot of value in it. Although obviously there are a lot of negatives around social media, but overall I think it's like quite a positive space to be in, and it's a great like, you know, opportunity to have an impact in some way.
And in a world of trends and social media, what would you say has been like the worst trend that you've ever seen in terms of skincare, like over the years?
There has been so many.
Yeah.
There has literally been so many. I feel like every week there is like something new. And it's crazy because I'm not sure if people do it just so the video goes viral or whether they truly think that it works. I'm not sure. I think maybe it's like a combination between the two, but there have been so many crazy ones. Like I would be here all day if I started going through them all.
Right, let's talk more about skin. Now, Korean skincare, I mean...
Obsessed.
Like, tell me all about it. Is it really worth the hype?
You know what? Korean skincare for me has been something that I have been like into, I would say, over the last 2 years.
Right.
And their whole ethos, I think, for skincare is quite different to like the UK and the US. It's very much based on like barrier strengthening ingredients, hydration, more of like a minimalist approach when it comes to the type of products that you're using.
Right.
Whereas like I think in other areas of the world, like there's a lot of like focus on quite harsh like exfoliating products, retinols and vitamin C. So I think they just have like a different ethos about it, and it's just such a big part of their culture. Like skincare is so like integral in their normal life, and I think that the Korean skincare brands really have like access to, you know, unique and novel skincare ingredients. They do like a lot of research behind the products that they have, and personally for me, I've ended up changing quite a lot of my skincare routine to Korean.
She's influencing. She's doing it. This is it.
But it's genuinely made such a difference to my skin, I feel. The thing with skin is it's kind of like the seasons. Like, you're never in the same season.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
You're never,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
It's the constant, like, switch up, you know, to, because, like, what, like, when I was pregnant, I had, like, I started breaking out. I've never had acne before. Yeah. It's obviously so common to see it in clinic all the time, like, women getting hormonal acne, like, when they're pregnant. And then after I had my baby, I was, like, really dry. So it's like,
it's different.
So I'm constantly trying out new and different skincare, and K skincare for me, I think, is a game changer. I do think it's worth it. I think they've got some really good, well researched.
I want to know how much you have spent, like up until today, on skincare.
Oh my gosh, like, so much.
Because your videos, you have like these shelves behind you.
Yeah.
Like, is that a room dedicated?
It is a room. I've got a PR room. I mean, I haven't bought everything within that room. Some of that I have received in PR to kind of like to test out, give my thoughts and opinions on it. But if I was to go back and calculate how much I've spent, it's probably just like a really insane amount. I don't even want to know. And I honestly, like, whenever like the doorbell rings and it's like another package, my husband's like, what's that? We don't have the space. Like, Where is all of this stuff going?
Moving house. You're going to be moving house soon just to get like a whole section of the house.
No, literally. Skincare. But I'm quite big about sort of donating skincare that I have to like women's shelters, because skincare generally is quite expensive.
It is so expensive.
It's really expensive. Yeah. It's kind of extortionate, some of the products. So for me, like I think I'm definitely somebody, I try not to be a hoarder. So it's like if I have like more than one of something, I'll be like, let me give this away, friends, family, women's shelter,
nice.
You know, spread the love, spread the skincare love.
Spread the skincare love. Let's talk about glass skin. Like, your skin obviously is skinning. I mean, if yours isn't, then like, whose is going to be, right? But let's talk about glass skin. Like, what is the secret to glass skin? Like, is there a secret to it?
Yeah, I mean, like the term glass skin, obviously, that's been coined, I guess, like from Korean beauty. And it just essentially what it means is that you have a very clear, almost like reflective skin, which is healthy, you know, your skin barrier is intact. What is the secret to glass skin? I would say the first thing is being consistent. It's kind of like going to the gym. Your skin's the exact same thing. If you stop doing your routine or you're not consistent with it, you're not going to see the results, but you're also not going to be able to maintain the results. So consistency, I think, is like number one, and that is key. And the second thing that I would say is like actually not overdoing your skincare routine. You don't need every single product that you hear about. Not everybody needs an exfoliator just because, you know, your friend is using such and such product. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to kind of work for you. So I think it's also about adapting and adjusting your skincare routine based on kind of what skincare type you have.
What skin you have,
yeah.
Like, what is the basic, like, what are the basic products for, like, someone who's listening and someone who's a beginner and, like, you know, questioning, like, where do I even start? Like, yeah. I've got all these products, like, you know, like you said, toner, exfoliating, like, you don't have to do that. But I don't know, give me like 3 or 4 basic products that just have to be in your routine for like a simple skincare routine.
For everybody, I would say 3 steps is cleanser, moisturizer, and sunscreen.
Okay.
Basic. And then anything additionally you want to add is going to be based on what your skincare concern is. So whether that's pigmentation or whether it's acne or pores. Mm-hmm. But as a basic starter routine, that's what you need.
And what would you say has been your best ever, ever skincare investment? Like one product, if you had to name one.
I'd say probably prescription tretinoin.
Okay.
Yeah. And so in the UK, you obviously can't buy tretinoin over the counter. So you have to get it on prescription. Right. And it is pricey, but in my opinion, 100% worth it. Because it just works on so many different things like texture, fine lines and wrinkles, pigmentation, pores. And it's probably one of the most studied skincare ingredients that we know about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, I think that's definitely worth it.
Wow. Now, there's one very important thing that I know like all derms will just talk about, and it's just a must.
Is it sunscreen?
Yes.
Yeah, now that I'm you didn't even finish the sentence. I knew.
How can we not talk about SPF today? Like, we have you in the studio. Like, tell our listeners like the importance of SPF.
Yeah, like, okay, look, sunscreen, if you're going to do anything in your skincare routine, if you're going to spend any money on anything, it needs to be sunscreen. That's how important it is, just to put it into context. But so many benefits, you know, firstly, obviously it stops your skin from becoming damaged from the sun because it blocks against UV, which is around all day, by the way, guys. It's not just, you know.
Winter too,
cloudy days. So definitely don't underestimate that. So it really helps to protect against, skin damage from the sun. So that can show up as being like fine lines or wrinkles, pigmentation, but most importantly, skin cancer. I think that's probably something on socials people talk about, but probably not enough. I think like in actual practice in the UK, skin cancer is definitely the thing that we see the most of.
Wow.
Yeah. Every single day we have a skin cancer clinic.
Really?
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is scary.
That's scary.
And I think it's genuinely from the time like where people didn't realise the importance of actually protecting their skin. Like, I always hear people say like, oh, I used to put on olive oil and I used to go and sit in the sun, and just like we were told that the sun was good for us. But I think that perception is changing, and it has really changed. So hopefully like over the next like, you know, 10, 20, whatever years it is, that we will see less skin cancer.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Final question from me to you. What is one piece of advice that you would give anybody that's listening today wanting to be a content creator like yourself?
Oh, that is such a good question. I would say there's never a right time to start, and don't waste until you think you've got the perfect equipment, that you feel completely ready to go on the camera, because that it'll just never happen. So whatever phone you've got, whatever camera you've got, just perch it up somewhere. You don't even need to have a tripod, and just start. And naturally, like over time, you'll probably pick up like how to edit and how you want to do your lighting and things. But yeah, I think the starting part of content creation is definitely the hardest. And I think once you've started, it becomes a lot easier and much more fun.
And like you said, with skincare, consistency is key.
Exactly.
Dr. Adele, thank you so much for popping into the studio today as part of our Content Creator Week. It's so nice to finally meet you.
So
and
nice
not just
to
see
you
on my TikTok.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listen to our Bollywood queen, Anushka Arora, from 12 noon to 4 p.m. weekdays on Sunrise.